Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show
and giving
whose only
all
mission
power to the
same.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, 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 and thank you all again for tuning in to the show. Today we have a really special guest. Today we'll be discussing helping your child believe and achieve. And our special guest today is Christopher B. Pearman. Mr. Pearman studied political science and criminal justice at Georgia State University in Atlanta, Georgia, before settling into a career in public relations and advertising. His two-decade career in the entertainment business started when his firstborn, Raven Simone, desired and landed the role on The Cosby Show at a very early age. From that point forward, in addition to managing Raven's career and years after The Cosby Show, he served as a creative consultant and directed episodes of Raven's hit show, That's So Raven. He has produced and directed music videos, corporate TV commercials, short films, and currently working on directing his first featured film with Studio 11 Films. He has appeared on national and TV radio spots. For 20 years, he has helped teens and adults across the U.S. make positive life choices by offering his perspective on dreaming so big, as well as the message that you are greater than you could ever imagine, and your life should reflect that greatness. Christopher B. Pearman is a proud father, motivational speaker, producer, and director in the entertainment industry, and author of Dream So Big, A Parent's Guide to Helping Your Child Achieve. Welcome. Christopher,
well, thank you. I am here. Thank you so much. That was so much information you just said there. That's too much. I need to edit that down. That's just too much. Too much.
And that was edited down. I am good. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm so glad to be here. First of all, let me say I'm so proud of you. You know, I met you on the one of the sets of the 11/11 films, and ever since then you've left in a very positive, inspirational mark on my soul and my spirit. And so I want to thank you for that, Yvonne.
I want to thank you, too, and congratulations on all your accomplishments, including your book, Dream So Big. I want to first ask you, what inspired you to write it?
Well, what inspired me was the fact that, you know, my child was 2 years old. She said, Daddy, I want to be on The Cosby Show. And we're from Atlanta, and the only way to make that happen was to move to New York, because we definitely weren't going to just come across Bill Cosby down in Little Five Points or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To achieve that dream, we had to be where the dream could manifest itself. So we quit our jobs and walked out on faith and gave ourselves 12 months to at least meet him, to give her that shot. And once we did that, 11 and a half months later, she was standing in front of him for an audition for a movie called Ghost Dad, directed by Sidney Poitier. However, she didn't get that movie, but they said, would you like to meet Bill Cosby? And we were like, well, yeah. And that next day, we met him because the people that were casting for that movie happened to be the people that were the casting people for the Cosby Show. And then we met him, did the audition, and he loved him. The next thing you know, she's on the show. So the dream manifested itself into our reality. And what happens is a lot of people over the years are like, well, how'd you do it? You know, I want my child to do it, or I want to do it. And you know, I didn't really have any answers, to be honest with you, because we were just basically taking that ride and kept on dreaming and stayed the course, because that was not only the dream. We continued to dream after that, from doing music to doing movies to ultimately doing our own show. But I didn't have the particular answer, the right answer. You know, I felt myself saying, you know, just hang in there and, you know, keep hope alive and, you know, stay positive and whatever. For me, that wasn't good enough. And deep in my heart, I just felt that wasn't good enough. So after we achieved our ultimate dream of having our own show, our own name, and, you know, I'm directing and producing, and then she ultimately directing and producing, I wrote producing. You know, I retired from that. You know, to the day that I got it, you know, I can do it now, and this is what I want to do. Well, hell, she's over 20 years old. That's our whole thing that I got out of the nest. And I went on a journey, a spiritual journey for myself, in trying to understand how did that happen. Because to me, that was a miracle to me. You know, I know personally that it was a dream, and but I wanted to find out what this dreaming process is. What is this making of reality? What did it really mean? I went and studied like people who did like these amazing things, from Napoleon to Alexander the Great. I traveled to Greece and France and South America, and you know, and then it hit me. You know, it hit me that the same principles that I saw that I had in me, they had in them. You know, and it was about visualization and picturing it and believing so strongly in that dream, and how that dream stayed in their mind. You know, like Napoleon would say, you know, it's my destiny to be this great. Or Alexander, why was Alexander the Great, you know, so great? Well, one thing I noticed was the fact that, you know, his name was Alexander the Great. He wasn't Alexander the, you know, you might can make it, brother. Or Alexander. You know, yeah. I mean, he grew up thinking he was son of Zeus and this and that. And I'm like, wow, it's all about, you know, your mental pictures, all about how you see yourself, and when you and you are what you think. You know, Yvonne, 2,000 years ago, they said, you know, a man that thinketh is, you know, as a man believeth, so shall he be. And it just hit me, you know, and I put together these eight principles. I call them dream catchers. And then putting those together and studying them and formulate them into the system, you know, when people take these eight dream catchers and apply them to their lives, you know, their dreams can come true. And it's important that children understand how powerful they really are, you know, and that they don't have any limits. You know, I never told my daughter, no, you can't do it. You know, it's impossible. How can you be on the number one show in the world because you're just looking at the TV and saying you want to do it? Yeah. I knew at that time, I didn't realize any impossibility. It was like, all I knew is that if he saw her, he's going to say yes. That's what was in my mind. And then I started walking, right, then I started walking towards that picture. And then it came to me. So had not I ever left Atlanta, I don't think it would have happened. You know what I'm saying? And if I had a fear, or if I didn't believe, or if I didn't visualize it in my mind, it wouldn't happen. And I think that if we have our children understand these principles, then their dreams will come true. Because, Yvonne, you understand, everything that we see within our reality, everything that you see, from a ceiling fan to a television to a light, it came from someone's imagination. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Someone's imagination. And in their imagination is no different than your child's imagination. And so it's just so important for us to let our children know that their imagination is important. It's an important mechanism for them in this life, during their lifetime, and that is that they can make their life. They're the makers of their life. Don't let them feel and think that others make their life. That's a mistake. Let them always make the data that make them life. You understand?
Yeah, and what grabbed my attention, that's some really great information, and throughout the book you cover a lot of great points with the eight principles, which are called dream catchers, and I absolutely love it. One of the chapters that grabbed my attention was Get Your Own House in Order, which you kind of touched on believing in your child, but I like the fact that you stressed the importance of prioritizing their dreams and putting your own life as a parent in perspective. What are some things that you suggest parents can do to consider before they even attempt to help their child achieve their goals?
Well, I mean, we're all dreamers, you know, and I wrote the book, you know, it's about helping our children believe and achieve, but more importantly, I mean, you're a dreamer also, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people in our adults are, you know, sitting back feeling as though their life is over, or their life is, you know, sad, or they're depressed or something like that, and their children are picking that up on them, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's important that they're looking to you for direction, you know.
Right.
And it's important that you feel positive and know that these powers still exist in you. Now, if your child has a dream, you want to help them achieve that. You know, it's so important then to prioritize your life so you can give them a time. And one of the things I talked about was the 80-20 principle. A lot of times parents feel as though, you know, well, I don't have the time. I go to work, I go home and cook, I got to do this. You always have an excuse, but yet you have a child here that's saying, well, Mama, I want to be president, or Mama, I want to be, you know, famous hockey player, or Mama, I want a lemonade stand, or work like that.
Right,
a lot
right,
of times
right.
Things are shut down because we feel as though we don't have the time, but in reality, we have more than enough time. And if we apply the 80-20 principle, and this is basically what it is. Let me try to keep it simple. If you have a telephone, and in your telephone you have all these numbers, right, Yvonne?
Uh-huh.
Only 20% of those numbers you really use. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people call you, just put them in. Oh, it's Jesse from, you know, from across the street or whatever. And, you know, you're locking in or whatever, but really only 20% of those numbers you really use on a daily basis and being important in your life, and the rest 80. And if you apply that same principle to your life, a lot of times you can find a lot of time. You know, you look at how much time you're looking at television, how much time you go into Starbucks, how much time you know, say you're just going out with friends with a drink. Well, if you cut, you know, 80% of those things that are not important, that are not that important, that you then can put that time into your child and helping them achieve their dreams, then you will find that, you know, it's possible that these things can happen. And it's all about prioritizing your life, your time, and getting yourself in order.
Yeah. And I like to that you talk about different questions to you suggest in the first chapter on looking at probing questions that we should ask our kids and kind of getting them thinking about what their dreams and the things that they want to accomplish. And I think for a lot of people, and you touch on that in one of the dream catchers as well as in the first chapter, but one of the things that you touch on is the fear. And I think fear is one of the things that a lot of people in general is something that hinders them from moving forward. Even if the parent knows what the child wants or can see their potential, which you talk about too, and the first dream catcher is paying attention to what their gifts and talents are. But even if the parent recognize all that, but a lot of times the fear is paralyzing. Did you have fear and concerns, and how did you overcome them?
Well, you know, fear is definitely a dream killer. You know what I'm saying? I remember there was a time I was in the third grade, and I had to sing this country song in school. Why they chose me to do that, so I don't know. And a country song, you know, I went to, it was mostly black school and the country song. You know what I'm saying? And so, now I had the song down, right? I had the twang, I had everything at home, you know, because I was ready, I was prepared, you know. And when I got up there and started to sing it, facing all the people out there, I was so scared, my vocal cords shrunk. And I went from a contralto to a tenor in America. I remember that. And I was sweating profusely, and they said, well, Chris, we never heard anyone hit the notes as high as you in that particular song. And I remember how fear, you know, could just clamp you down. You know what I'm saying? And I remember a story with my daughter, which we wanted to sing, and she, you know, Dad, I wanted, because at the time doing the college, so you get a chance to meet a lot of people. I mean, she met so many people from, Jackson, Janet Jackson, you know, this like Lady Kravitz all the time was with Lisa Bonet, so, you know, she wanted to sing. And so I remember putting her back in the car, and I said, well, you know, I tell you what, you want to sing, and I knew Mickey Howard, I had her music, and Chaka Khan, you sing like them. You can sing. So I play the tape all the time. She'll sing with him. And, you know, she got it. But one of the biggest fears that she had was the Star Spangled Banner. And people would ask her to sing this at the games and so forth, and she would be so afraid, you know, be so afraid for that first note. You know what I'm saying? The first three notes. That low note, right? Oh, she couldn't hit it, and it would just mess with her in the fear. I continued to have her do it, even if sometimes she messed up on that point. She's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Daddy, you know, and I said, that's okay, we'll do it again. She's like, Dad, I don't want to do it. I said, no, you know, just do it again. Because I, for some reason inside me, I felt as though when you step up and face that fear that got you, you will overcome it. You know what I'm saying? And I noticed that she did. You know, she'd get to the song, and no matter how much she practiced prior to the event, she'd mess it up. But when she got up on that podium, she would hit it. And the more she hit it, the more confident she became. And I realized, you know, that fear stopped you from doing anything. So had I had a fear of saying, well, if we go to New York, you don't know. I mean, because other people had the fear about it. You know, other people, what makes you think you can go to New York and be on the number one show in the world and quit your job? You know, even my mother would say, you know, say to her, Raven's mom, you know, like, you know, you're married to a fool. You know what I'm saying? Don't follow him.
Yeah.
You know, he's Satan. So, but we did it anyway. We did it anyway. And because I felt that she was greater than we all knew. And you know, and obviously, but by doing that, bang, you know, it happened. You know, and so once it happened, then you feel as though there's nothing you can't do. You know what I'm saying? Once you're able to face your fear and overcome it, then you have to realize, then there's really nothing we can do. You know what I'm saying? But not important for us, but more important for her as a child of 2 years old to say, all I got to do is dream, is a beautiful thing. And I think that all children should feel that way. So now a lot of people would say, okay, well, then I don't figure out what my child is, what a talent. Everyone comes to this earth, comes into this reality with a purpose. And the journey in this thing we call life is to find what that purpose is and then to do it. You know what I'm saying? And do it. And when you do it, it's done in joy and whatever, and then you die. That's the reality of life. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people want to speak about a whole lot of other stuff, but, you know, this world been turning for like a trillion years. Okay, you got about good 80, 90 in it. That's cool. So you come with this purpose. And then so from a child, it's important for a parent to be like, well, you know, to find out certain things. Like, what do you love to do? What makes you happy? What makes you smile? If there was anything in the world you can do to make it, what would it be? A child has their imagination. A child has their mechanism of the dream. And they'll tell you, you know, it's my child. You know, I'm going to be on the concert. Or I want to sing. I want to record. I want to be in the movies. And basically, say, I want to be a star. You know what I'm saying? Your problem is I want my own lemonade stand, then I want my lemonade stands to be all around the country. Or I want to be an astronaut, or whatever, whatever. And, you know, a lot of people put their own children's dreams by saying, look, I mean, your daddy makes minimum wage, you know, and college is about $400,000 a year. We need to scale back on the drink, all right? You know, which is a horrible thing to do, because in letting them know you can be that, there are all kinds of ways that this child still can achieve, even if both parents, you know, are making minimum wage. Number one, do very well in school, you know. Put everything that's got to do with being an astronaut in front of this child, whether it's, you know, grants to go to astronaut school, whether there's scholarships to study, you know, space, nautical, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
There are always programs. There are always ways, but never to say no, because then what you're doing is cutting the child down of their ability to achieve great things. And we as human beings are capable of achieving amazing, amazing things. You know, and if you tell a child, look, you got to realize when man first began, you know, one of the biggest technology was fire. Which you take for, you know, you sort of take for granted now, but, you know, at one time, you know, fire was like the iPhone. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're running, a lion after you is dark, you scared. You know what I'm saying? Meat cold. You know what I'm saying? Fire came, meat hot. Now you can see the lion coming at you. Oh, my God. Now you go from that to now we've got a camera on Mars looking at the surface of another planet.
It's possible. It's possible.
Everything is possible, and it's possible within how we think, how we dream, how we imagine.
Yeah, and the thing I want to touch on, too, because we're running a little long time.
I'm sorry, I get long.
No. Great. No, great, great, great information. So many people want to achieve, or so many people do achieve, but they struggle with it. We see a lot of people who make it there, and they really struggle with the success. Over the years, you know, throughout Raven's career, we've seen, you know, she's not in, you know, the tabloids all the time, and she seems like a very well-balanced young woman. What are some of the values and that you and her mom instilled in her to keep her balanced?
A baseball bat. Now, listen, you know, even before doing this, it's so important. And one thing that Raven learned, different than what most children learn, is the difference between show business and the business of show. There's a serious, distinct difference. And, you know, listen, it's not about being late, because you got, you know, it's responsibility. There's people that working so hard, even though you may be successful, there's a lot of people behind you. You know, you have your family to represent, you have your people to represent. So all of this was explained early in the beginning. And so, you know, and that's what instilled in her, you know, to be very professional and to know that this is a job. And even when she was real young with these other kids, all eight, parents told them, just have fun, you know, and we would see, you know, children cussing their parents out, and when that would happen, you know, there would be a nice lean down to the ear and say, Raven, you know, you could never do that. Don't ever try to cross that line and test it. You know what I'm saying?
You
will have the entire Pierman family upon you. So, I mean, but she always knew that, so it was important to be respectful and know that what you do is a reflection not of you, but of your parents and the people that you represent. And I thought it was important for black people to have someone that the mother and the father and the family can feel good about and, you know, to be articulate, respectful, and so forth. So, you know, and she understood that if you want to play the game, if you want to be in this thing, you know, that's important for you to know. And basically she kept that in. Now she's grown now. Okay, almost 30.
Yeah.
I've done my job.
We've seen her grow up before our eyes,
And I've done my job. Now what she does now, hey, don't have control of that. You want everybody to know she's like almost 30, so hey. But as a child and a young adult, it was so important for her to represent herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, great information in the book. And before we go, I want to ask, what's the core message that you want, and I think you kind of touched on it already, but what's the core message you want readers to walk away with after reading Dream So Big?
Well, even if they don't read Dream So Big but hear this show, the most important thing is that what you dream, you can achieve.
Uh-huh.
And what you believe you can conceive, and to know that you are the dreamer, you are the artist, you're the canvas, and you are also the brushes, and you can paint your life however you want, and it's all about your thoughts that you think. So watch your thoughts, keep positive thoughts, and just know that you're greater than you could ever imagine, and be great in whatever you do, and love. That's it.
Yeah, I love that. Where can people go to reach you? How can people reach out to you? I know you have a Facebook page.
Oh, well, go to my Facebook.
Go
to my Facebook page at christopher.b.pearman, P-E-A-R-M-A-N, at facebook.com. That's christopher.b.pearman, P-E-A-R-M-A-N, at facebook.com. You know, you've been on my site, you know, I try to put up positive things for people to see, and you know, we've got a lot of exciting things that's happening that's positive, and you know, call, reach out to me, friend me, and let's be friends as I am with Yvonne, whom I love very much, and so
I love you too, Chris.
and
where can people get the book? I know it's on Amazon.
Right. Well, Amazon.
So,
I mean, as of this now, I'm retaining all the rights. I'm getting it back. It's important for people to own their stuff, so I'm right in the middle of that. Go to Amazon.com and then watch for me for the republishing of it. And I'm also working on another one. So let's stay in touch, Yvonne, and let your listeners know what's going on.
I will, and Chris, I want to say, Christopher B. Pearman, continue blessings to you and your family. All the best to Ms. Raven, Simone, and I want to wish you continued success and with your book and all your current and future endeavors. And I want to say before we go also that meeting you, we've met, several months ago, and your humility and your and I can see where she get her personality from. It's very refreshing to meet someone and as humble as you are. And so I want to say that you inspire a lot of people, and you have definitely imprinted something on my spirit as well. So I wanted to say thank you, and thank you for joining us and sharing this information and sharing it in the book.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Yvonne. You have a great day.
You too. We'll be in touch.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Powers multiply. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure. And I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.